south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, here's a real topical and interesting question. The email starts, Johnny, with all the school shootings here up in the States, can you tell me, does that kind of stuff happen down in Latin America? I would assume it has to happen, but you don't see reports up here in the States anywhere mentioning any such incidents. We hear about earthquakes, hurricanes, coup d'etats, volcanoes, and all sorts of natural disasters in your neck of the woods, but school shootings? Nada. That comes from Lester. Thanks for that. Again, good question, Lester. And I have to admit, a couple of times while watching the 6 o'clock news here in Latin America and reading some of the news pages, I do recall a few school shootings. However, and this is a huge however, in every single case, it wasn't a kid that got shot, but a teacher or a principal. Not that it's an epidemic or anything, it certainly isn't, but as it turns out in every one of those cases, it was determined that there was a love triangle going on, or what is usual here in Latin America, serial cheating. And one of the principals or participants was such a hothead that he walked into a classroom and either blasted his cheating wife or the guy who was cheating on his wife or both. By the way, you know, I come from a science background, and once in a while when people are talking pure BS that can easily be refuted, known down here as Mierda del Toro, I tell them to sit down and read a science book, which they almost never do. And you know, since I have an engineering and math background, I took a lot of statistics courses too. And I've read way more than my share of science books. So I've got a lot of information at my fingertips, useless and otherwise. That said, I think I might have something to add here, an angle you haven't heard before. All right, since school shootings seem to be on everyone's mind these days, and everyone and his brother and cheating other half has an automatic reaction, a knee-jerk reaction, that there better be more restrictions on guns and gun control. Well, before you jump on that bandwagon, and I certainly never did, I'd like to throw this out at you. Did you know in the last 10 years, if you average it out, there have been approximately 15 kids shot and killed each year at school? And you know, even one is unacceptable. But really, because of the latest incidents, should more laws be passed? Do we need more laws? I mean, we're all committing at least 3 felonies a day, aren't we? But you knew that already, right? Well, here's something that should make you think before you start whining to your politicians that we need a slew of more laws and a couple more billion to enforce them. I'll bet you didn't know that every year in the U.S., 2,000 deaths occur from people running red lights. That's 130 times as many people dead as the number of kids killed at school each year. Should we pass some laws, spend a couple extra billion dollars, and redesign all the signaled intersections in the entire U.S. and maybe install electronic gates as they do in parking lots? That'll save some lives. But the thing is, a traffic death is not nearly as spectacular as a shooting death. I mean, you rarely see traffic deaths on the 6 o'clock news, but you see lots of shootings, right? Or how about this, and I've mentioned this before. Every year, around 150 people die from falling coconuts. That's 10 times as many deaths as the number of kids shot in schools each year. So then do we spend some millions of dollars outlawing coconut trees around the world? Or maybe pass some laws ordering that each and every coconut tree has a marked off and fenced in safe and unsafe zone? Oh, and how about this, sports fans? Did you know that junior high and high school football injuries claim an average of 12 deaths annually in the United States? That's neck and neck with school shooting deaths. We definitely have to do something about that. Either have to make it illegal or put every participant in a SpongeBob suit. What do you think? Funny how the press hasn't glommed onto that one. Oh, and here's one that'll put you in a tizzy. Did you know that champagne corks kill about 24 people every year? Oh, time to outlaw the fizzy stuff, or maybe redesign the entire bottle and opening apparatus. What a tragedy, and no one's talking about it. And that's almost twice as many deaths per year as compared to school shootings. Oh, and what about people who are blinded by champagne corks? That would be around 400 a year. Hey, something to think about, right? By the way, just how does someone die by a champagne cork? Well, doctors will tell you it's usually a direct hit right below the larynx. Then you basically go into a choking spasm and die. Oh, and here's one no one talks about. Did you know that around 6,000 people a year die from simply tripping over their own feet and falling at home. I guess that calls for a massive redesign of stairs and footwear. 6,000 people a year dead tripping over their own feet. Well, that's only 400 times as many deaths as school shooting deaths. Of course, that's an unspectacular, even boring way to die and never newsworthy. Oh, and then there's choking at restaurants. Did you know about 3,000 people a year die in restaurants choking on their food? Definitely either have to outlaw restaurants or make sure your chicken breasts, steak, and lobster are thoroughly blended and pureed before they make it to your plate. Yum, yum. And on a related note, around 5,000 people a year die in the U.S. alone as a result of consuming undercooked and or contaminated meat, which definitely presents a case for sending government inspectors to your house to inspect your fridge. Or maybe just require you to have a couple of cameras in the kitchen and the fridge connected to the cloud. Oh, you've got that already? Sorry. So again, eating undercooked and contaminated food kills 400 times more people in the U.S. than random school shooters. However, kicking the bucket by way of contaminated meat is a boring, unnewsworthy, unglamorous, even embarrassing way to go, isn't it? Again, let me repeat, on average, at least for the last 10 years, there are 15 kids killed by shooters in school each year. And I also repeat, even one kid shot is one too many. Oh, and here's a repetitive tragedy we've just got to do something about. Did you know that cows, you know, moo moo, milk and all that? Well, they cause the death of about 20 Americans every year, mostly from blunt force trauma. That's about a third more dead each year than the number of kids shot and killed every year in U.S. schools. Then we've got bees, killing about 100 people in the U.S. every year. What do you say we pass a law and exterminate them all, along with Elsie the cow and all her friends? Oh, and by the way, it's not just those packs of killer cows running around either. Did you know that horses kill about 20 people annually in the U.S. too? It's either blunt force trauma or they throw you or step on you. Ought to be a law, huh? Some would say, send them to the glue factory. So horses kill a third more people each year than shooters do at schools. Oh, and there have to be ladder laws. We can't have them anymore. They cause about 355 deaths a year annually in the U.S. 350 deaths a year by ladder? That's over 20 times as many deaths as you have with school shooters. And here's a deadly problem you'll hear almost no one talking about. Did you know that 100 people die annually in the U.S. from being scalded by overly hot tap water? Which is why we need to petition the government to make those deadly water heaters illegal. Will you sign that petition? And how about your homicidal dog Fido? Do you know? Dogs kill about 30 people every year in the U.S. Does that mean we should force them all to wear muzzles, pull their teeth, or just allow chihuahuas? And how about this? Did you know in the northern climes, falling icicles kill 15 people a year? That's in the U.S. alone. I say ban them. By the way, naturalists will tell you the most dangerous animals of all are not gators, grizzlies, or tigers. But get this, hippos. They're naturally irritable and responsible for 2,900 deaths a year. But since it's not high-class first world people that are getting killed, it's not newsworthy. However, the following just might be the weirdest cause of multiple deaths of all. Do we need more laws? You be the judge. It's claimed that 2,500 deaths a year can be directly attributed to left-handedness. Meaning that number of left-handed people die each year attempting to perform a task with a tool or apparatus originally designed for a right-handed person. Not to mention, statistics bear out that left-handed people are 5 times more likely than right-handers to die in accidents. Maybe we should pass a law forcing all lefties to become right-handed. In fact, I remember way back when I was in Catholic grade school, the girl in front of me, she was always in front of me, went by alphabetical order, you know. Every time the nun would pass her, she'd whack her in the left elbow with her rubber-tipped pointer, forcing her to switch hands to the right. I understand she grew up to be a very beautiful neurotic. So we could pass a law making all lefties switch, but some would cheat. Or we could just force every tool or item manufacturer to produce a left and a right-handed model, and properly labeled as such. Man, that would create tons of jobs, wouldn't it? And here's something you better be on the alert for. Killer vending machines. Did you know that 37 people were killed trying to get a snack from a vending machine in the last 15 years? That's like 2-point-something deaths per year. What a way to go, huh? What a tragedy. Making your chances of being killed by a vending machine totally dependent on how big your addiction is to junk food. No, it doesn't suck you up through the coin slot. Turns out the deadly ones are top-heavy and Most often it's a pissed off customer who rocks the machine and the machine rocks back. That makes you, by the way, much more likely to be crushed by a vending machine than to be killed by a shark. Of course, there are always shark attacks every year, but statistics show that though a number of people are attacked or bitten, most survive and less than one person a year dies at the hands of, or I should say, the teeth of a shark. That's not to say humans don't have a tremendous fear of sharks. Most people, in fact, would like to see them wiped off the face of the earth. Thank you, Steven Spielberg. Now, you know this list I've been getting this stuff from? Spelling out certain odd and strange ways people prematurely die? Let me give you just one more off this list. Did you know, and I'm sure you didn't, that about 450 people die each year falling out of their own beds? And that's in the U.S. alone. Obviously, we need to pass some laws stipulating the height of the bed from the floor must be no higher than the diameter of the average adult's head. All right, so let's get started writing our congressman right away. Wait a minute. I said that would be the last one I would mention. Well, there's a couple more here I'm going to mention just because they're so shocking and unusual. Did you know, and you probably didn't want to know this, the average of 40 people a year die in the U.S. from contaminated tap water? Boy, that really states the case for having your own water purifier, huh? Oh, and you need to hear this. Did you know, and I'm sure you didn't, that on average 120 people a year die while they're being pulled around in a horse-drawn carriage? So guys, keep that in mind when you're thinking about a romantic once around the park. And I'm sure you're wondering, how's that happen? Well, it stands to reason that because so many horse-drawn carriage rides are around historic central parks with lots and lots of cobblestones, often the horse will slip and jerk forward, or one of the wheels will hit a rock or dip, and a person will fall out of the carriage and land on his or her head. What a way to end a starlit night, huh? Yep, there ought to be a law. There ought to be 10 laws. After all, that's the American way, right? There ought to be a million laws. Wait a minute, there are a million laws. And finally, to round out this list, we have something really pathetic. Did you know that 37 children die each year from heat exhaustion after being left in the car by their mothers? It's usually the mother. All right, Jimmy, stay here in a car just going into bingo for a minute. I wonder how many thousands of times a white trash mother has said that to her kid. So twice as many children die of heat stroke in their mother's cars than children shot and killed at school. So how about a law then that says every prospective parent needs a psychiatric evaluation before they can have kids? Man, that's one law even I could get behind. Except for the fact that I truly believe most psychiatrists and psychologists are clueless, pill-pushing dunderheads who don't know much more than the rest of us do. All right, let's change gears now. Speaking of guns, I get a lot of questions from people saying, Johnny, can I have a gun in Latin America? Well, in most cases, yes, except for countries like Mexico, Colombia, and Venezuela. It's very difficult for anyone to get a gun legally there. In fact, Mexico's got very strict gun laws. Isn't that funny? It seems the more strict the gun laws, the more gun violence, because only the bad guys have the guns then. But you knew that already. In most Latin countries, it works like this. If you're a resident, that means you've applied for temporary or permanent residency and have your DPI residency card, you can go to any gun store, and they're all over the place here in Latin America, and buy pretty much a small arsenal if you want. I know some Latin guys who have 10, 20, or 30 guns. These are professional guys, collectors of guns, who just like to go out to the shooting range once in a while. I'm not talking about wild and crazy cowboy types. Though you have those guys too, especially out in the boonies, and many times their guns are not registered because you know there are tons of illegal guns floating around too. Matter of fact, one time I was talking to a Latin cop who was stationed in a busy area. I said, hey, where's the best place to buy a gun? Because a lot of gun stores around. He said, you mean registered or unregistered? And this was from a nice guy cop who I'd seen around a couple times. Anyway, when you go to a gun store and try to purchase a gun, first thing they'll ask you is, are you a resident? Because they'll obviously see you're a gringo. Then they'll ask you for the usual paperwork, somewhat like they do up in the States, I guess. Number one, they want some paperwork from the local police department from whatever district or city you're living in. So you'll go down to the nearest cop shop and ask the guy or gal at the desk for your antecedentes penales. That would be basically a good conduct report. And the only way you'll have any black marks on that thing is if you've been taken to court, sued for something or other, and lost. However, that doesn't include civil cases, only criminal cases. So, 99 times out of 100, your antecedentes penales, or your good conduct report, will come up perfectly clean. By the way, To get that, it'll probably cost you around $5, but you might have to stand in line for an hour or so. That's just Latin America, you know. Or you can call up your friendly local lawyer's office and he'll send one of his ladies down there and she'll stand in line and get it. Not being sexist here, but almost all Latin lawyers' offices have a crew of ladies that do that kind of work. As usual, they're pretty much the brains behind a male law office. And again, most lawyers here in Latin America are male. I'd say only about 5% are female. Though, just lately, the law schools are filled with ladies, so they're up and coming. Of course, you've got those guys called tramitadores, too. You know, every lawyer's got one or two guys on call with beater rice burner motorcycles out front. They shuffle paperwork from various government office to government office. They're just pretty much delivery guys. It's the ladies that do the work. Anyway, in most Latin countries, to get a gun, you'll need that good conduct report, and you'll also need what they call a constancia de ingresos. That means if you have a job, it's a letter from your employer saying how long you've worked there and how much you make. Now, don't ask me why they want that crap. It's just usual Latin bureaucratic BS, a way to keep the fat-ass slugs moving the paperwork so they don't fall asleep at their desks, I guess. And if you don't have a real job, which most of us gringos don't, you'll just give them 3 months of bank statements. And, you know, since I'm all into anonymity and a very small footprint, I'm glad there's Photoshop for things like that. I mean, really, why should you be handing them a bank statement saying what you really have in the bank? Not to mention those statements always show your bank account number and a lot of personal details like your address and phone number, too. However, if you don't mind giving up all your debts to people you don't even know, especially government bureau rats, go ahead. Have at it. Meanwhile, you could do what a lot of astute expats and gringos do. They just Photoshop a few things. All right, next in the list of requirements to buy guns and firearms, you need a copy of your water, light, or telephone bill with your address on it. Hey, another great use for Photoshop, huh? Man, don't you just hate it when you're trying to do something and people ask for that stuff? Well, by all means, give them something because they'll need it to move ahead with the process. Which is why you really want to have a Latin lawyer you do business with on a regular basis. Because if you don't want to give up all that stuff and don't feel like giving up your data to Latin databases, even though they're in Spanish, you can use his office as your virtual home base. Just make a deal with him to use his phone, address, utility bills, etc. Or not. And finally, if you're going to go into an arms dealer and buy a gun, they'll generally ask you for a certified copy of your birth certificate, which is why it's always highly recommended to have some very good scans of your original birth certificate document from the States or wherever. And since all lawyers here in Latin America are notary publics, they'll certify that document for you. Then you're off to the races. Next thing, you select your gun or guns, which, by the way, will be about twice the price what you pay for the very same things up in the States. Because that's one way corrupt Latin governments make a ton of money. They tax the hell out of guns and ammo. Which is why I always advise it's never a good idea to ship your guns down from the States. Sure, you can do it, but it's going to be a big hassle and you're going to pay 100% duty on them at least. So in effect, you'll be paying for your guns twice. And they'll certainly get stuck in the aduana or customs for a month or two. So why not just sell them up there and buy new down here? Unless, of course, you've got some favorite historic commemorative gun or pistol that your great-great-grandpa handed down from the Civil War or World War I. Then, by all means, ship it down. And it's good to know that for really old weapons that are considered antiques, the taxes can often be negligible, since down here it's hard to put a value on a gun that's, let's say, 100 years old. All right, let's say you selected a nice, basic 12-gauge shotgun. I'm guessing in the States something like a Mossberg would cost you $200 to $250. Down here, same thing, more like double, $400 to $500. Well, just like in the States, they won't hand it over right away. There'll be a waiting period, usually around a week. And in fact, if you buy a rifle or a handgun, they'll actually do a ballistics test on it. That's part of the way they do things down here. It doesn't mean anything. Just another idiotic bureaucratic move to extort little money for the government, since I've been led to believe and have been told by various cops that no one can ever recall a shooting crime that was solved by a ballistics test. Though every gun that's legally purchased has to undergo one, which means they fire a couple of rounds, take a few photos of the rifling marks on the bullets, file it, never to be seen again. So then after the waiting period, you'll get your guns and a laminated registration card. Kind of looks like a driver's license with your photo on it. And on that card will be listed all the guns you have that are registered. And you'll carry that card with you. It's especially important to carry it with you if you have your gun in your car, in your glove compartment, or on the seat, whatever. Because, you see, if you get pulled over at one of those frequent traffic stops, the cops just might ask, Senor Johnny, porta armas? Meaning, Mr. Johnny, are you packing heat? And if you have one in the car, you say, yes, it's registrado, and you hand them the card, and you're on your way. However, if you have a gun in your car and you don't have that registration, they'll take it down to the nearest cop shop, and you'll definitely have to call your lawyer. You'll get out of it all right, but it'll certainly ruin your day. Now, as far as different Latin countries and their gun laws, as mentioned, you've got Colombia, Venezuela, and Mexico with extremely tough gun laws. Reminds me of Chicago and Washington, D.C., with some of the nation's strictest gun laws and the highest rates of homicide. I say it's time to put a bounty on politicians. What do you think? By the way, Cuba is that exception to the rule. No one can have a gun in Cuba, yet the crime rate concerning firearms is extremely low. That's because, you know, you've got no rights in Cuba. If you get busted for something, or they bust you for nothing, talking about locals now, not tourists, you just might end up working in the sugar fields for life. Or if you're caught or accused of a grievous crime, you're likely to just disappear. Which makes for a very obedient and law-abiding society, you know? Now, a lot of people think about Chile as a nice, calm place to have a plan B. And it is, and it's beautiful, and it's calm, with not a lot of violence at all. Though it is rather expensive, and some say, boring. Fact is, if you wind up a gun there, you're kind of SOL, because you need to meet all those requirements I mentioned, and you need a psychiatric evaluation too. Which, by the way, is not bad. I'm all in for that, especially up in the States. I mean, look, you don't want psychologically damaged people or nutcases buying guns, like some of them do up in the States. Though we've got other problems up in the States, since, what is it now, 30% of adults are on prescription psychotropic drugs, including the shrinks and the psychologists themselves. So who do you trust? Like I said, the answers are not easy or clear-cut, which is why I'm so glad I'm here in Latin America. All right, so in Chile, you need a psychiatric evaluation. But that's not all. You have to take a firearm safety course. Also a very good idea. However, you also have to take a firearms safety test in Spanish. I wonder how many expats and gringos could tough their way through that. So yes, to answer the question about having firearms in Chile, yes, you can have them, but lots of hoops to jump through and it ain't easy. Nope, said about that. All right, now I'd like to remind you of my upcoming July 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. It'll start Saturday, July 7th, 2018, going through Thursday, July 12th. So if you want to get the details before the whole world knows about it and get on the early bird discount list, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and put seminar in the subject box. And once again, we'll be hanging around at some of my favorite stomping grounds, right smack dab in the middle of the Altiplano region. Finest weather in the world, even during the rainy season, and it will be the rainy season. Normally you get an hour or two of rain in the early afternoon, but it clears up fast. And again, at least 80% of the time will be way off the gringo tourist trail, and the only gringos around will be, well, us. And of course, me and my staff will be holding your hand all the way. So even if your Spanish sucks, not a problem. By the way, I was having a discussion, I think it was with expat Oscar the other day. He's our Bitcoin and cryptocurrency mining king here in Central America. I told him, Oscar, you know, you could make a ton of money just doing crypto mining courses at hotel salons here in Latin America. Because although Latinos are very interested in Bitcoin and cryptos, they know absolutely nothing about mining. So there's a great niche. Wouldn't you like to take a course on crypto mining? I'll tell you, some of my expat insider alumni who live here in Central America now are making 30, even 50 bucks a day just doing crypto mining. You'll see what I'm talking about, and you'll hear all about it if you come down to my upcoming Expat Insider Seminar. Anyway, was talking to Expat Oscar the other day. He's been down here something like 5 years now. I think he came to my second or third Expat Insider Seminar. Anyway, he came right out and said to me, Johnny, you know what? I'm not going to learn Spanish. I just am not going to do it. I've been down here 5 years now, and like you, way off the gringo tourist trail, and I get by just fine. So screw it. Anyway, he says I can read little bits in the newspaper and speak with my cleaning lady and such, so why learn Spanish? I got better things to do. Well, I know Oscar, and you know how people are. Old habits die hard, and it does take some work, time, and effort to learn Spanish enough to actually understand what the people on the street, the locals, are saying. And though it is counterintuitive to hear someone who's living off the tourist trail say such a thing, the truth is, very shortly, there will come a time when no one really has to learn Spanish or any other foreign second language again. Technology, especially AI, is going to do all that for us. I mean, look, first, maybe 10 years ago, they had those dedicated hand translators where you type in a phrase, etc. And then, as much as I hate Google, came Google Translate. And now you've got those apps where you can just talk into your cell phone and it'll do an instant translation into Spanish or any other language and vice versa. In fact, I know a couple of gringo expats right now who are romancing Latinas who know almost no English. And a gringa going out with a Latin guy who knows no English. And up to now, anyway, their whole verbal relationship entirely depends on Google Translate and a few translation apps. I mean, really, who'd have thought that was possible even 3 or 4 years ago? And they tell me it works just fine. And little by little, they are picking up bits and pieces of each other's language. Meanwhile, they're in full-blown relationships that entirely depend on technology. So, in a way, I have to agree with expat Oscar. If you really don't have the time or desire to put in the effort to learn Spanish by the book, I'd say within a year or two or on the outside three, we'll have very sophisticated AI embedded in apps that'll do it all for you. I know it sounds like a crutch, and it is, but people do get around just fine with crutches, right? And sometimes they even do marathons. So then what happens when you're with your significant other and your smartphone battery runs out? Or you have butterfingers and drop that phone down a sewer grate? That happens, you know. Well, if you're off the gringo tourist trail or you're deep into a romantic relationship with someone who does not speak English, I guess you're back to smiles and grunts and sign language. Anyway, with the rapid progress of tech and AI, that should give all you guys and gals up in Detroit and Cleveland, whose Spanish really sucks, reason to celebrate. Fact is, if I was living up in the States right now and was just starting with my plan B, holding off putting it into action because my Spanish sucks and I have to work on it some more, well, knowing what we know now about those translation apps and how they're improving at hyper speed, I think I wouldn't worry too much about the Spanish. Instead, I'd kick my boots on the ground plan into high gear. Isn't it great knowing that technology can fill a gap like that? And certainly after you're down a while, your Spanish will kick in. So am I saying I'm all in for AI? That'd be artificial intelligence, of course. Well, whether you love it, hate it, or you're neutral about it, it's here to stay, it's not going away, so you have to deal with it. Take the good with the bad, and hopefully there'll be more good than bad, but I kind of doubt it. Some people say in the end it'll wipe out humanity. But for now, take advantage of the fact that it's supercharged the translation apps. But then again, Latin countries have different dialects, remember? Just like up north, we have bland Midwestern accents, and the Texas drawl and New Jersey speak, to name a few. And you know, I've had more than a few Brits tell me they can't understand certain American accents. Yeah, like we can understand theirs. Same thing here in Latin America. You got 20 Latin countries, all with different accents and slang words. So how will translation devices and apps handle that? Well, I'm sure in a couple of years, AI will have solved those problems too. Then again, maybe I shouldn't have told you that.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.